It's time now for Empowered Family Talk with Francita Hallriss.
Do you want to empower families and young people in your community? Then take the time to make a tax-deductible contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. The Coach Tate Foundation is dedicated to helping young people and their families in learning and passing on the kinds of life skills that we all need to succeed. All too often, we hear about kids and their families having encountered life's difficulties that could have been easily avoided by knowing better decision-making skills, from anger management to money management to something as simple as learning to manage how we spend our time or how we use our job skills. Make a donation to the Coach Tate Fund. It'll help kids who need help and their families too. Make your contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. Get details at www.coachtatefoundation.com. And oh, by the way,
may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Good morning, it's family time, and welcome back to Empower Family Talk. We the people, hang it forward in this 21st century as we come together to balance these scales of justice within our L-O-V-E love. Are we ready? Good morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Doing well, Francina. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fabulous, doing very well, and I'm excited about our topic today, love, aren't you?
I absolutely am. Love is something that we so need in this world now more than ever.
It really is. It really is. As far as I'm concerned, Marcus, it's the most powerful word when it's manifested in the world. And let's take a few moments between the two of us for our listeners to divine what love is. And I'll start with my little statement. We must also remember, in order to embrace love, we must understand hate. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. That agape love, that unconditional love. And this is one thing, one scripture that hold dear to my heart, particularly Marcus, in the day and time in which we're living, where there's so much hate going on in the world. This scripture, I encourage our listeners to really meditate on 1 John 4:20-21, when it reminds us, if someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from God, that he who loves God must love his brother. Now, Marcus, what say you?
I say, Francine, that's 100% true. Like, in your heart, if you have hate, if you have disdain, if you have this anger and constant wrath, which is one of the seven deadly sins, if you have wrath towards people, it is, you can't love people and you can't love God. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, you can be disappointed in someone, you can be frustrated at someone, you can be just overwhelmed with maybe stress and just feel like, you know, maybe you're having a disagreement with someone. Like, there's times, I'm happily married, but there's times where my wife might frustrate me, or she might, you know, I might be disappointed, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. I've never said in my 8 years of being with my wife, we've been together 8 years, married 5.5, I've never, ever said the words, I hate my wife. Because I don't. Wow. Because the minute nice. You say that, it's the minute I really believe that you've made it clear to that person that you don't love them anymore. And I don't believe you can say in the moment. when you say something like disappointed, frustrated, yes, I understand. That happens. Say when you hate someone, then I feel in my mind, I feel that the hate has been there and just it's manifested. So, because there's a big saying, Francina, when you know, it's like there's truth in everything you say, especially when you're upset, frustrated, jesting, the truth. So I've never said that about anyone. I've never said that about anyone I love. I've never said that about anybody because I don't hate anyone. I can be frustrated or disappointed. I don't hate anyone, no matter what they do to me.
Yes, and that's a very good point, Marcus, on your marriage. And that leads to the other point is, you know, God created the whole universe we live in out of love because he is love. And when we get down to our society that we live in today, particularly I learn a lot from the children as we minister to the youth in society. And they are really big on conditional and unconditional love. And they caused me to go into the Bible and do some deep research and other articles. Is at the house, our parents and are teaching conditional love. I love you conditioned upon. Like I love the example you said, we have our differences, but we don't hate each other. It's conditional and unconditional love is what I try to teach and lead by example for the children. They have been conditioned, the little girls that we talk with have been conditioned to look a certain way to attract love externally. The little boys have been conditioned to be a certain way and have certain things as a condition to attract love. Do you find that permeating in your sphere of activities daily?
Yes. I mean, my wife is a teacher. She teaches fifth grade, English and science. And so, English history. And it's interesting how she talks about how the little girl 11, 12 years old are so concerned about the way they look and not wanting to be, so over a certain weight or trying to dress a certain way. And I remember this when I was growing up, how you wanted to have the newest shoes, the newest jeans, the newest this, the newest that. And we put much emphasis on the outside appearance, the clothes we wear, the way we look. Now, again, you want to have pride in yourself, right? And again, what I mean by that is you want to look at yourself and have pride in who you are, but you don't want it to become where you're prideful all the time, like at the point where you're often of others and trying to be what you want you to be. I always tell people, look a certain way to be the best representation of yourself, best representation of your family, let you to live. Don't try to look a certain way to appease someone else. Because at the end of the day, have no idea what someone like if you do things or dress a certain way, talk a certain way, drive a certain car, do all these things. Whole life, for instance, what I call this embarrassing game, always trying to keep up with other people and never being happy. Truly
happy
you have.
Yes, and I that connection into the microphone is very good, and that's very well said, Marcus, because I find that our next generation, and as a key tenant in the new America, love is such a powerful word, and it's been labeled and conditioned in a box where we have to lead by example, I believe. In this new America, we have to restore love. We have to restore what we call unconditional love, which I believe you expressed very well when you talked about the husband and wife love. Because there's so many different types of love that we'll get into a little later. But, you know, the unconditional love, we understand condition. Now we have to bring our families into what does God say about agape? And how we're to love unconditionally. Do you think we have a lot of work to do in that area to teach how to love unconditionally? in 2020, Mark?
Perhaps to program a new
microphone. Microphone is breaking up.
And for example, I had been.
Yeah, speaking to your mic, Marcus, I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay, so I'll start that over. Sorry about that. So, again, talking about what you said, Francina, about having to, you know, really reprogram and retrain people when it comes to the word love. Like, what really constitutes love? It's someone being there for you no matter what you have, no matter what you can provide for them. It's just about how you treat them. So, for example, my wife, when I lost the business in 2013, she could have left me because I couldn't provide for her like I told her I could when we first met. And she did not do that, Francina. She stayed with me through the homes being foreclosed on, both cars being repossessed. She stayed through everything, the ups, the downs. That's love. And unfortunately, today in our society, we put too much emphasis of love on the material things or the things that I feel don't matter. Money, property, you know, possessions. Because here's what I tell everybody. Money can come and it can go. But if you find someone to love you for you, that you really can get along with and have a future with and, you know, have a family with and have a foundation with, that's real love. So I talk about my wife in that regard all the time because, again, Francine, I have a real life experience of having a bunch of money when we met, and then we were together for about 6 months, and then I lost every dime I had except for $400, and she stayed. So we have to reprogram, I feel, the young people today to help them to understand what it really means to love someone. And it's like, how do they treat you? How do they interact with you? Do they respect you? Do they respect the bond that you have with them, you know, as friends, as, you know, as a husband or wife, spouse, or a spouse in general? And how do you really make that the foundation of love? Not what they can provide for you, you know, from a monetary or from a notoriety or a power type of position. I think that's what we have to really do to reprogram everyone in the new America.
I believe that so wholeheartedly. Is what's missing from our world today is love. Just love. And we've done a disjustice to that word. Love. We've tossed it around. We degrade its meaning and love, even down to sex. God created all of this in love, and we have degraded the sacredness of love. Now, one of the questions, Marcus, I'd love for you to chime in. I think you've answered part of it, but one of the questions that came to me today is the question becomes now, how do we lead by example the unconditional love in our homes first with our husbands and our wives, our children and our grandchildren to manifest agape love external to our homes within our daily environment when the external world that we live in today functions on conditional love? From the White House to the outhouse, as they say. How do we do that, Marcus, going forward? Are there steps?
Everything starts with the actions you do. Like I always say, Francina, do what I do. Don't do what I say. So, for example, both of my girls are going to see from the daily actions that I do and how I love their mother unconditionally, no matter what she has, no matter what I have, the love that we have for each other will never be broken because we've been through everything from financial loss and ruin to bankruptcy to arguments and disagreements. And again, we never, ever, ever said we hate each other. We've gone through, Francina, many tests in our marriage early about, you know, communication, about trust, about, you know, responsibility, about providing. And we've made it. And our marriage now is very, very good. I mean, we very rarely argue or disagree at anything. We like a lot of the same things. And that's also something about the word love. It's about how do you as a person make yourself and grow and tweak yourself to be able to blend with your partner? How can you all get together and do things where you like each other? Like you said, friends, where it's not just built on sex or physical, you know, intimacy. Because at the end of the day, as we grow older, that will also, you know, burn out. But the love for someone, no matter who you are, who they are, if you truly like them, love them, have the same interest. So, like, for example, I never used to watch daytime soap operas before my wife. But then my wife was a huge General Hospital fan. But because I wanted to spend more time with her and I wanted to bond with her and wanted to have things to talk about with her, I became a General Hospital fan. You know, I started watching that. I mean, I didn't like to watch that stuff. But again, that's what I did. My wife, when we first met, didn't like things like ID Discovery, but I liked it. And so she started to tweak herself to like that. And now we both like it. And so this is what I feel is missing in the new America when it comes to marriages and the word love. How can we, you know, tweak? How can we make adjustments ourselves to blend and love others? And then how can we just have, again, do what I do, not what I say. So my girls will see that. And what I want for them is to find a man, find a partner to love them like I love their mother. This way they'll see it. And then they can take it down to their kids and to their kids. And then it really sets the legacy and the tone for the word love by the actions you do, not just by the words you say. Saying the words, Francine, you know as well as I do, and you're on my line of work, saying the words are easy. Doing the acts and the heavy lifting, that's what truly matters.
It really does, Marcus. And to your point there, I have to share with you this little story real quickly, which I shared with the kids in a love talk recently. And I shared with them during my travels in Europe. I was privileged to attend a university they called Love. And they teach princes and queens how to be a queen and how to be a prince by a structured condition of systems and policies and procedures. It's really quite fascinating. So during my visit, I was able to share, you know, with the children that, yes, that was structured condition love, conditioned to fit into a condition role. What I saw, Marcus, and what I share with the kids, there was no soul. There was no heart. They were marrying another person conditioned upon how they looked, what they were able to do, and there's a systemic training for that. And then at the end, in the external world, we see the bright lights and the chariots and, you know, the queen and the crown and the royalty as we know it today. But what was really missing, and I think we saw that in one of our princes who's no longer with us, that you can have all of the trippings and trimmings of love, but it really starts from the inside out. And I encourage our children and our listeners to really, the love in the Bible, I think that's the best love story in the world, is to really look at what love is and what it's not. How are we going to teach our little girls and boys who aspire to be princes and princesses as we know them that love is not in the external, it's from the heart on the inside? You are a prince and a princess in your own right. Marcus.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the way in which people from all around the world teach it differently, it's really about how you're able to connect with people in your community. And this is where people like yourself, Francina, myself, you know, Mr. Patrick Yankee, Mr. Stedman Graham, you know, what we're doing, the work we're doing in the New America Tour, starting with Asheville next month, it's about setting an example and actually coming to the table, really coming with solutions to problems. It's about solving problems in the communities, and then from there, giving the people the hope, the guidance, the leadership and the knowledge of how to love others and how to love themselves and how to, like you just said a moment ago, have it come from the heart and go out from there. When your heart is pure and in the right place and you have a good intentions and you have a good, you know, a good demeanor about yourself and you have what I call a victory mindset to help others be successful, that's what I feel will be phenomenal for everyone. Because when everyone starts to have that type of mindset and that type of mentality, the world is full of love and it's a much better place. But unfortunately, what happens is people can have their own agendas in the way. They get focused on financial gain. Again, it's not, and again, it's something that our society really predicates on. Like, the more money you have, the more success you have. Well, I know a lot of people who are extremely wealthy who aren't happy. I know a lot of people who are extremely wealthy that have broken homes. I know a lot of people who are extremely wealthy that wish they could trade their wealth just to have, you know, a normal life with love and friends and not have to always turn around and see if someone's trying to get something from them for personal gain, for fiscal gain. And again, it's hard to love people when you're at the top if you haven't learned how to love yourself first. So I think what you're saying is just absolutely so important, and it starts with the heart, loving yourself first, and then from there, loving others the way that you love yourself and wanting that feeling of how you feel, you know, to give yourself praise and happiness, how that can go to someone else to help manifest on them to brighten their day.
That is so important, and thank you, Marcus, for sharing that, because in the New America, as I look at our speakers, yourself and Patrick Yankee and Mr. Graham, and just your love story, your story is a love story, and to be these kids today, you just need an example, someone who's been there, done that, and I look at Stedman Graham, and a longtime friend of mine, and you know, he said, Francis, he's a big believer in the power of love. And even he himself on his platform with all of the interactions you and I know that he encounters, and particularly with Ms. Winfrey, this man I admire because he understands unconditional love. And he had to know who he was in his heart to be able to deal with the external world that wanted to put him in a box, you know, this and that and the other. He said, I loved Oprah before Oprah was Oprah. And it's just like you, your wife, Miss Ogden, bless her soul. I love Marcus for who Marcus is, not for what he has. And if we can get those tenets, key tenets, into the minds of our children, you don't need to be conditioned to love this man because he drives a Bentley. Because he's got $2 million in the bank. Where's the love? The cars and things should pass away, like you said. And I just believe this subject is so important to our workforce, to our community, to how we trade in our business. People do business with people they trust and have a holistic love affair with in trading and accomplishing and achieving profits and prosperity. What say you, Marcus? We've got a few more minutes left, but I believe this is a strong tenet that we're going to be able to, the four of us in Asheville in November, bring to that community is how important love is to tie everything else together that we aspire to be and have in society.
I love how you said Mr. Graham loved Oprah before she was Oprah. And that's the kind of powerful message that really can transcend and start to change and ripple waves in the new America for the good and for the betterment of the future. Because, again, Mr. Graham has been by her side. And, again, everybody thinks, oh, he's with Oprah. That's got to be the most phenomenal thing. But I also bet it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of things, a lot of up and down. Oprah is extremely successful. But with success, Francina, you know, comes responsibility. It comes a lot of time you have to give. It becomes, you know, you have to do things. You have to not have to be with your family at times. So it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is because, again, money does not buy happiness. Money is not love because, again, money can go in the blink of an eye. When I lost everything, Francina, my wife could have left me. We were together not even 6 months. And I gave her the option, look, you know, you didn't sign up for this, And if you would like to go now, I understand. And it's just, and I gave her the choice because I loved her enough to let her know this is where I am. It's just not where I want to be. It's just not what she signed up for. She said, Marcus, look, I love you for you. You can be successful again because you're hardworking, ambitious, and you have drive. That's exactly where the success cycle came from, our book. But again, it's so important, people, Francine, because people like yourself, myself, Patrick, and Mr. Graham, we can show people and tell people, because we're all extremely successful, that we have had people in our corner love us through difficult times, through the ups and downs, through the thick and thin. And I think that's the most important message, because people always talk about what they have or what they've got when they're successful. But show me someone who's had the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, and they've had those people beside them then. That, to me, is the essence of love. So I really believe next month, November 19th and 20th in Nashville, we bring a lot of value around leadership, around multicultural diversity, around workforce development, but also in the basic principle foundation of love and how when you love someone, no matter what they have or can give you, if that person loves you in return, that bond is exactly what God intended us to do and have, is to love someone through the ups and downs, the success and the failures, to keep us even keel and keep us moving forward in His word towards a better tomorrow. So I think that's so important.
I do too, Marcus. This is lovely. I love this subject. And I hope we're going to be able to get a little song in at the end of this broadcast today, just to remind our folks there's a message in the music. We need love. We need love, sweet love. And we've got a minute or so left, Marcus, and I'd like for us to share just a couple characteristics of what healthy, godly love looks like and what it sounds like. And what I'd like to share with our listeners is pay attention to your love. Is it patient? Is it kind? Does it not envy or jealous? Does it not boast in its own right? Is it not proud? It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth. And if we could pay attention to those areas, we could really restore unconditional love in our society. Marcus, your final closing remarks.
Final closing remarks. Love is very endearing. Love is faithful. And love is loyal. And if you have those three characteristics in someone and they've got your back and best interest, that's love. And November 19th and 20th in Asheville, North Carolina, we're going to have our event, and we're going to talk about, again, things to help you with your business and around leadership. We're also going to talk to you about these things to help you. Because, again, Francina, if people don't have love or happiness in their life, then all the success from the professional world will never, ever be manifested to the greatest degree. Because if you're not happy or having love in your personal life, in your professional life, I don't believe you can ever reach your true optimal level of success.
Amen. And this is the new America. It's all about love. And to all of our listeners, it's family time. It's time to get our love affairs in order so we can lead by example today for our tomorrow. We are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all people. Until next week, same time, same station. We are Marcus Ogden and Francina Tate Holress, your hosts.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Thank you for joining Francita Hallress on Empowered Family Talk. Tune in next week.